Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
I'm going to ask you this morning to turn to Psalm 46. It's a beautiful psalm, and always find it difficult preaching the one-off type sermon. Finishing the book of Haggai and moving into Christmas, really searched my own heart, and I thought, well, this would be a good sermon to preach to me. So I'm preaching to me this morning, and I hope that you can benefit from that as well. So Psalm 46, and it's a song. I think we need to see that, the nature of the literature. To the choir master of the song, the sons of Korah, according to Elmot, which is just a musical term, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble as at its swelling. There is a river whose streams may glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still. Know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Lord, as we turn to this passage, do you pray that you would feed our souls. And Lord, as it were, may we drink from those cisterns that never run dry. As your Spirit does his work in us and among us to the glory of your name. Amen. Well, the concept of help, I don't think that's a difficult concept to understand. I think even the youngest, the children among us can understand it. The thought that came to my mind as a picture of help was every time I visit Glen Haven. Those of you who live at Glen Haven, and especially when we have an event at the community center, you have to dodge the walkers. People use walkers because they need help. To be able to get from your cottage to the community center, to be able to get from the cottage to the dining room, if you don't have the walker, you're going to get there. So help is needed. Help is needed. And so I share that as an opening remark this morning, because there may be seasons in your life when you will need help to cope physically. But that's not what I'm going to talk about today. Because importantly, during the course of your life, it's not that you may, but you will find the need, your need, to cope spiritually. That's what I want to speak about today. I've learned something I shared with the staff this week. I thought as one gets older, it gets easier. Not necessarily. Been a Christian for 50 years plus now, and I still find it's difficult to cope spiritually at times. Buckling, and I know many of you will feel this, you will experience this at times, buckling under the load of those unexpected, undesired, dark clouds. Now, I haven't looked at my slide, but now you know why I chose that particular picture. Because there are often these dark clouds that just seem to come over us and affect our walk with God. Others have used the phrase, some of the Puritans speak of the unwanted bends in the road, leading to discouragement and spiritual despair. Now, there are many reasons, and I don't think we're able to gather together, but I tried to put into some categories over there. Relational disappointment. We are relational people. We engage with others. And so when there are instances of, say, betrayal or unfaithfulness or abandonment or disappointment or neglect or even that terrible experience of divorce, this cloud weighs heavily over us. It can weigh heavily over us. Another category would be what the Bible terms troubles common to man. There are difficulties that people face. Regardless of culture or country or language, sometimes it's political uncertainty, sometimes it's economic uncertainty. I think every single family, parents get concerned about their children, personal hardships of sickness or trauma, and of course the horror of the death of a loved one. So those are troubles common to man. And then I've also discovered in the course of my ministry that at any given point of time, unexpectedly, we suddenly feel that lack of assurance. Am I really a believer? Am I really walking with God? And so this psalm this morning, it's a favorite. And I believe that as we navigate the dark and difficult pathway through these varying challenges that we may have, we may face, we have the help of God. And that's going to be my first point this morning. We have or know that you have God's help. Beginning in 1994, lasting for only 100 days, the Rwandan genocide resulted in nearly 1 million ethnic Tutsi and some moderate Hutu murdered. Now, why do I mention that? Because when I came to this church in the late 90s, 1999, there was a group of Rwandans. And there was one man in particular, maybe some of you will remember him, his name was Anastasis. And he would tell me some of the horror stories of what it was like living in that context and trying to escape. And he was delighted to find refuge initially here in South Africa, and then later he and his family managed to get to the US. And he's phoned me from time to time. And he now has, initially it was two jobs, but now he has one job. He's managed to get a place where they as a family can live, the children are being educated, and so on. Now my point is this. My contact with Anastasis and many others, by the way, especially at the Arcadia campus who've come from war-torn countries, has helped me understand the blessing of finding refuge. Now, that's a word I want us to think about, the concept. Finding refuge from danger. What is it to find refuge? Those who have come to South Africa from this kind of terrible situation came here because it is a safe place. And not only is it a safe place where there's protection for them, but there are also prospects for the future. Hope is introduced back into their lives. And so this psalm will show us today, as a true believer, you can know, I can know, and experience God as a refuge and strength. God provides a safe place. And again, remember, I'm speaking about a spiritual safe place, where there are prospects, where there's hope, where there is enabling strength when we feel we've got to the end of our tether, and He carries us in our spiritual frailty and need. And so that very first verse, God, and here is a statement, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, I need to say a few things about this person who finds refuge and help and strength in times of trouble. The song inspires confidence, not in everybody. It's not for everybody. It's for the true believer. For the true believer who, like the sons of Korah, are relationally connected to God. There must be a connection to God. And I'll give you an example. Asaph, Psalm 73, raises this very issue in his own struggle. He's a man that struggled. He struggled to come to terms with what he defined as the prosperity of the wicked and the suffering of the righteous. And he eventually, when he finds himself in the presence of God, he's able to say, my flesh and my heart may fail. Physically, I'm going to be done. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. In other words, he's speaking here of soul well-being. But for me, verse 28, it is good to be near God. I've made the Lord God my refuge, my safe place, that I may tell of all your works. Jesus encouraged his disciples, also in the face of danger and imminent vulnerability. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. You see, again, there's connectedness. This is the sheep he's speaking about, not the goats. They follow me. I give them eternal life, soul well-being, and they will never perish. Just by the way, in the Greek, there's double negative. In English, we don't say not, but in the Greek, in this particular verse, uses two negatives. Umay. They will not. In other words, they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. There is safety, soul safety, through the difficulties, through death, into the very presence of God. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And so, folk, those of us, perhaps here this morning, and perhaps you're feeling like you're at the end of your tether, spiritually speaking, God holds you in a safe place in his hands, and he carries you through the storm, through the worst kind of catastrophe. Another instance, Jesus speaking to those same disciples before his own arrest and crucifixion, John chapter 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I'm going to get you through the storm and I'm going to get you to a place. I like the older version speaking of the many mansions. And then the personal warning that Jesus gives to Peter in Luke chapter 22. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you. Sometimes you may feel that. That he might sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. Soul well-being, soul safety, soul refuge. Even the doxologies, we get used to these verses, these phrases. We often repeat this at the end of the service in Jude chapter 1. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. God is going to hold you. He's going to carry you. When you think you can't do this anymore, you want to throw in the towel, you want to give up, you want to turn your back on God, if you're a sheep, if you're a believer, those who have believed, those who have repented from their sin and placed their trust in Jesus, we cannot cope on our own. That's a fact. But when the chips are down, really down, God is our refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. God, folk, I want to tell you, and I'm preaching to myself this morning, God and God alone does provide soul safety. And as we read on in this passage, in the worst kind of danger and disaster, the second verse, therefore, because of this safety that he provides, we will not fear, though the earth gives way. You feel that sometimes? Bottom of your life is just falling out. Though the mountains be moved into the desert and the sea, such catastrophe all around me. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at the swelling, know that you have God's help. Number two, know that God is with you. Perhaps a personal illustration, I don't always like to do this, but in 2017, Wayne is a fellow runner. I had landed up at the end of the Comrades Marathon, been carried to the medical tent. To be put on a drip, my family thought I was dying. And the problem wasn't really serious. Inadequate hydration. just didn't drink enough water in the 89 kilometers of stupidity. Okay. You see, you don't need to stop for water in a 100-meter sprint. We all know that. But if you hope to successfully complete a marathon, any longer race, you need to repeatedly be refreshed all along the way. Those of us who are runners know this in a race. Every 3 kilometers on a half marathon or a marathon, although when you start getting to 35 kilometers, normally sometimes every kilometer, Comrades Marathon towards the end, there's water all the time available. Now, I use that as an illustration because as you and I travel along this earth, this world, this land of trouble, you will get spiritually tired. You don't reach some kind of spiritual maturity that suddenly you're immune from all the challenges and difficulties. You become spiritually tired, exhausted and weary, feeling that you want to drop and you want to throw in the towel. But as we move on in the psalm, there's something else we ought to know. And again, there's an illustration given by the psalmist that will help us understand what he's trying to say. Verse 4, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Now, I'm sure many of you have been to Jerusalem, to Israel on a visit. But the city of Jerusalem is actually situated on a hill. It's high ground. And how do you get a constant supply of water? And particularly if you think back in those days when they were fighting each other, different nations, tribes fighting each other. Well, even today, there remains Hezekiah's tunnel. Hezekiah diverted the spring of Gihon, located down in the valley, by building a tunnel almost 600 meters long into a reservoir inside the city wall. Now, you get the picture. The picture that the psalmist is trying to give us is that in the city of Jerusalem, there is a supply of fresh, refreshing water. And so when they were attacked under siege by enemy armies, they had a river whose streams made glad the city of God. Now, is this not talking about physical or literal refreshing water supply or help to fight against the enemy? Let's read this verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter, he utters his voice, the earth melts. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. The psalmist is showing us here something we need to be reminded of. There is satisfying spiritual provision for the people of God from God, providing the help that we need in our time of despair. And you know what? I want to add, there's a little bit of a deviation in this message. I want to add that which adds to our struggle of soul weariness. We think, we incorrectly, we wrongly think that busyness in ministry will solve our sense of distance from God. Big mistake, big mistake. And I know that. I'm guilty of this myself. Run ministries, attend meetings, we fix buildings, we walk the streets doing outreach, lead worship, we play instruments, we see people doing that, we welcome people at the door, we prepare sermons, lead Bible studies, we go on mission trips, we participate in board meetings, and we get worn out. We get run down. We want to throw in the towel. And you know what the problem is? Because we are not being repeatedly refreshed. For so many reasons, busyness being one of them, we've forgotten about the river whose streams make glad the city of God. We neglect God who is among us. We need more. We need more of what David prayed when he was in the wilderness. Now again, the wilderness, get the picture. It's dry. It's hot. But the spiritual lesson, the refreshing that the soul needs. Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. There's a desperation here. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Do you ever feel that? Don't we need more of what Jesus spoke of to the woman at the well? John chapter 4, verse 10. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. A little later in verse 14, he says, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. See what he's saying over here. We need more of God. Now, of course we must be busy in the church. Of course we do need to be serving God. But we will sink deeper and deeper into weariness and further from a vibrant walk with God if we run without drinking. The work we do in the church, you and I do in the church, will not sustain us. It won't sustain us. It does not sustain a fresh relationship with God. Strumming a guitar is good. Knocking on doors, good. Discussion, serving, I serve on so many boards, is good. But dear friends, without drinking, the relationship with God will be stale. It will be like stale bread. Or I thought when I was a little boy, we used to eat a lot of bologna. Dry, shriveled bologna. That's horrible, isn't it? Hard, cracked mud on a dry river bed in your relationship with God. We need repeatedly to go to Jesus, who said in Revelation 22, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. We need to be drinking in the Word of God more and more of Jesus. Not the Word as an end in itself. That's a big problem in our circles. People think if they know good theology and they can recite passages of Scripture, they're in a good place. They know they're in a good place. It must lead to God. It must lead to Jesus. It must lead to the reality of His redeeming work. It must lead to the reality of His greatness and His mercy and His grace toward us. And how does that happen? God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is set before us as the river of living water. Remember again, quoting from John's Gospel, the last day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he said to the people, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And so, folk, there is that need for us not just to be active in ministry, not only to call ourselves believers, but there is the need for us to intentionally, proactively develop in our devotional experience and relationship with God through the Word and the Spirit. And again, there's the danger. There's the danger of ticking a box because you've read from some daily bread or you've read a chapter from the Bible. It's more than that. It's waiting on God. It's crying out to God as David did. It's being filled with the Spirit of God, submitting to Him, confessing our sin before Him. It's being dependent on Him. It's listening to sermons and it's having quiet times. It's living a life of obedience. Repeatedly, we need to be refreshed by God. And remember that because He is with you. God is with you. Thirdly, you can trust God. That is important in this walk of faith, especially when the dark clouds are hanging over us. Trust is not something automatic. Is that true? With people, isn't it so? I often hear, and I say this myself, he or she needs to earn my trust. Because we got burnt a few times, isn't it? We've been hurt. And so we ask questions like, will I experience from this person reliability? Is this person consistent in his or her behavior toward me? Is this person faithful and upright and truthful and honest? And so we have to ask ourselves as we turn to this passage, can you trust God to be God? Can you trust God to be who he says he is? That he sovereignly rules this earth, that he glorifies himself. And so we get to verse 8. Come, invitation. Behold, look around you, the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. Part of the solution in the drinking and the growing in our relationship with God is to observe God's decisive action in the world. Past, present, and future, we're given some insight in verse 9, but we see nations rise and nations fall. We see the generations of God designated by God to bring about the birth of Jesus. God's involvement, and that should eliminate doubt, because God has this superior ability. Verse 9, he's the one who makes war cease to the end of the earth and ultimately completely. He breaks the bow and he shatters the spear. He burns chariots with fire. We must pause, observing, looking, absorbing what we see, not cutting God out the picture. See what he's revealed, and we will grow in our trust of him. He then adds this verse 10. Be still. I always thought that was a very spiritual injunction. Well, in my research this week, I discovered it wasn't. Be still is not in the first place comfort for the troubled, but it's a rebuke. Because always in a hurry. Isn't that the nature of our lives? In fact, we used to sing a song as young people, always in a hurry, day and night. That character, God through the psalmist is saying, stop in your tracks. Be still. Wake up to the reality that God exists, that God is at work, that God loves you, that God is with you, that God will help you. This God who has a reputation that he will uphold, an honor and praise and glory that will unfold to all until that time, of course, when every knee will bow. And there is a definite eventuality, as that verse speaks in verse 9, where he will bring peace. Then the final verse reinforcing the chorus of his presence. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Well, my conclusion this morning, we do not as Christians, young Christians, older Christians, bypass the present day hardships. There are present day hardships that we all face from time to time. And these threaten, they challenge our soul well-being. I believe the psalm is an encouragement. It is to me, I hope to you. How should we respond? How should I respond to the growing weight that sometimes we feel being piled on our backs, the burdens we feel so beyond human resolution? God addresses that in the psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in need. And so I urge you this morning, take some time out to think about this reality. Ask yourself the question, is he indeed your refuge? Is he your safe place? Are you drinking from those cisterns that never run dry, dependent on him through his word, by his spirit? Are you in a place of safety because of the work and the person of Jesus? Ach and Lord, I pray for us as a congregation this morning, as individuals, and the end of a year, and there are struggles. Lord, there are clouds that gather in certain people's lives, and we don't understand why. And yet, Lord, we want to trust you, you being all wise. And I pray this morning that each of us would leave the service once again reminded and confident of the reality of you being our refuge and strength, the present help in our need. And Lord, may we be those who really depend on your Spirit and really seek to be filled with your Spirit, confessing our sin, turning to you, Lord, in humility, understanding that we stand in constant need of you. Day by day, we pray. And Lord, may you be glorified through this church, through our individual lives. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.